Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we found a treat for you. Experimental radio drama was at its best on CBS, first with the Columbia Workshop and Norman Corwin in the early years, and then for two seasons beginning in 1956, it was revived as CBS Radio Workshop. They never had or expected a sponsor, and took full advantage of the artistic freedom that lack of sponsorship allowed. During radio's heyday, sponsors had control of the content of any show they paid for. CBS Radio Workshop created dramas with cutting-edge writing, music, and sound effects. Today we have a spellbinding adaptation of Moby Dick by Herman Melville in two parts. We will present both half-hour segments on our show this week, and I know you will be enthralled. Enjoy Columbia Workshop Moby Dick, Part 1, first broadcast October 19th, 1946 on CBS.
The Columbia Workshop. Radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques presents a two-part adaptation of a great American classic of the sea, Moby Dick, by Herman Melville. Herman Melville's place in literature is now securely established. He's one of the great novelists of all times. Moby Dick has been adapted for radio by Ernest Kenoy. A special musical score has been composed by Norman Lockwood and is conducted by Frederick Steiner. The Columbia Workshop now presents Part 1 of Moby Dick.
Some years ago, in the 1840s, having little money in my pocket and nothing to interest me on shore, I took myself to the old island of Nantucket. The heap of sand anchored off New England returns its weight in whale oil every year. Down went I to the wharf where the whaling ship Pequod wallowed in the tidewater, swarming with landsmen hauling aboard supplies. She was small, seasoned, weather-stained in the typhoons and calms of all four oceans. Her rails and sheave blocks were fitted out with whalebone. A noble craft, but somehow most melancholy.
This is where the black ballers preparing for sea. Hey, hey, blow the man down. Ye stretchers, I'd laugh in the sight you would see. Give me some time to blow the man down. Come on, ye young fellas, and follow the sea.
I climbed up to the quarter deck, looked about for someone with authority to sign up on this vessel for the 3 years whaling cruise. At last I spied him. He was brown and brawny, like most old seamen, and he talked with the antique speech of the Nantucket Quaker brethren, peppered with scowls from many hard gales and wintry watches of a lifetime at sea. I stepped up and called to him, "Is this the captain of the Pequod?"
"Supposing it was."
"I was thinking of shipping."
"Yeah. They see that no Nantucket up. Has ever been in a stove boat with the whales, flukes, whaling tattoo, and their ribs?
I've been on several voyages in the merchant service, sir.
Merchant service be hanged. Talk not that lingo to me.
Come, sir,
I suppose now you feel considerable proud of having served in those merchant ships. But this is a whaler, lad. And, what takes thee, a whaling?
I want to see what whaling is, and see the world.
Oh, want to see what whaling is, huh? Art thou the man to pitch a harpoon down a live whale's throat and then jump after it? Have you ever clapped eyes on Captain Ahab?
Oh, are you not the ship's captain?
Nay, I be Captain Peleg, the owner. Ahab's the captain. Ahab with his leg of chiseled ivory.
His leg was lost, sir.
Devoured it was. Chewed up. Crunched by the monstrousest Palmacetti whale to ever chip the boat.
Well, I'm still bound to go whaling, sir.
Well, then thou mayest as well sign the papers right off. Here's the book. 3-year voyage, it is.
I know. There. And can I see the captain?
And what dost thou want of Ahab?
Why, to...
No matter. Thou canst not see him now. Captain Ahab's a queer man. Some say a sick one. Mark ye, be forewarned. He lost his leg the last voyage by that accursed whale. And he's been moody. Desperate, moody, and savage.
But among sailors, a missing leg is common.
Ahab's above the common. He's been in college as well as among cannibals. Been used to deeper wonder than the waves. And fixed his harpoon in mightier foes than whales. Aye, lad. Mark you well, Ahab. And hold him in awe.
In the next days, there was a great activity aboard the Pequod. A whaling ship demands of 3 years' housekeeping, away from grocers, doctors, bakers, and bankers. The whaler frequents lonely seas without hospitable harbors. Hence, spare boats, spare spars, spare lines and harpoons. Everything but a spare captain and a duplicate ship. Then, with the last supplies, we're battened down in the hold.
Mr. Starbuck, I'm going ashore.
Aye, sir.
Captain Ahab's below. Take charge, Starbuck. This day, 3 years, I'll have a hot supper smoking for you in Old Nantucket.
Goodbye, Captain Kelly.
Look here, Starbuck. Luck to you all. Aye, 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 aye.
Strike the gangway.
Aye, sir. Aye.
Now then, man the capstan. Run, thunder, chump. Spring now. Heave. Heave, press your break your backs. Here, Shandyman, song to heave to.
Aye, sir. We'll man the good capstan and run it around. Way-o, Rio. We'll heave up the anchor to this jolly sound.
For we're bound to the Rio Grande. And away-o, Rio. Way-o, Rio.
So fare ye well, my pretty young girl.
For we're bound to the Rio Grande.
Music of the shanty and clanking capstan, the Pequod slipped away from the wharf. A cold night breeze blew. A screaming gull flew overhead. We plunged blindly like fate into the lone Atlantic. For several days after leaving Nantucket, nothing above hatches was seen of Captain Ahab. The ship was under the direction of the mates. The chief among them was Starbuck, a native of Nantucket and a Quaker. An earnest man, a staid and steadfast man, with a deep natural reverence. Courageous, but he had no fancy to lower boats after a whale with the sun sunk beneath the rim of the ocean. The second mate was Stubb. He was a Cape Cod man, taking paddles as they came with an indifferent air. He presided over his whaleboat as if the most deadly encounter were but a dinner and his crew invited guests. A long usage had for Stubb converted the jaws of death into an easy chair. Like his nose, his short black little pipe was one of the regular features of his face.
When Stubb dressed, instead of first putting his legs into his trousers, he put his pipe into his mouth. Then, there were the harpooners, savage men from the wild races of the earth. Queequeg, a cannibal from the South Seas. Peshtego, a gay-head Indian from the vineyards. And Dagu, giant chieftain in Central Africa. South we sail, leaving behind the merciless winter. Then, on one of those gray and gloomy mornings, I mounted on the deck for the forenoon watch, and there, on the quarter deck, the wind beating against his gray hair and tawny face and neck, was Captain Ahab. Like a fevered beast, he paced the quarter deck, and throughout the ship echoed the horrible, heavy thump of the gleaming ivory post that served him for a leg.
Sabbath, Mr. Sabbath.
Aye, Captain.
Send everybody aft.
Everybody?
Aye. Asset sail! Aye. Come down, everybody aft! Move in. Stir away.
All men assembled, Captain Ahab.
Good. Now then! What do you do when you see a whale?
Sing out for him!
Aye, and what do you do next?
Run away and after him!
And what tune is it you pull to?
A dead whale or a stove boat?
Now, ye masted lookouts, you see this Spanish ounce of gold? Pure gold, men, do you see it? Sabbath, hand me that hammer.
Aye, sir.
Look at that gold shine, men, like the sun.
The hammer, Captain.
Aye. Now, listen well. Whosoever of you raises me a white-headed whale with a wrinkled brow and a crooked jaw, whosoever of you raises me that white whale with three holes punctured in his starboard fluke, he shall have this ounce of Spanish gold. Look ye now. Look ye. I'll nail this gold piece to the mast. White whale, men. Skin your eyes for him. Look sharp for white water. If you see but a bubble, sing out.
Captain Ahab, that white whale must be the same that some call Moby Dick.
Moby Dick? Do you know the white whale?
Does he fan tell a little, sir, before he goes down?
And has he a curious spout, too? Very bushy for a parmaceti.
Has he three harpoon irons in his hide, Captain, all twisted around?
Aye, the harpoons lie all twisted and wrenched in him. Death and devils, men, it is Moby Dick you've seen. Moby Dick. Aye, it was that accursed white whale that sliced me. Sheared off my leg. I'll chase him round Good Hope, and round the Horn, and round the Norway Maelstrom, and round Perdition's Flame.
But, Captain,
that's what you've shipped for. To chase that white whale till he spouts black blood and rolls thin out. What say you, men? Will you splice hands on?
Aye, a sharp eye for the white whale!
A sharp lance for Moby Dick!
Stuart?
Aye, sir.
Go draw the great measure of grog. Draw a gun around. But, Mr. Starver, what's this long face? Wilt thou not chase the white whale?
Nay, Captain Ahab. I be here in this ocean to kill whales for my living, not to be killed by them for theirs. How many barrels of whale oil will thy vengeance gain us in Nantucket market?
Money's not the measure, Stabbock. My vengeance will fetch a great premium here, within my breast.
Vengeance on a dumb brute that robbed thee of thy leg from blindest instinct? Madness, Captain Ahab. Blasphemy.
Stabbock, I hate the white whale. I'll spend the rest of my life to hunt him. I see in him outrageous strength and malice. The unknown, Starbuck, and I'll search it out. Talk not to me of blasphemy. I'd strike the sun if it insulted me.
Captain,
take thine eye off me, Starbuck. So, thou palest, Thou canst not stand against me. Now then! Drink! Death to Moby Dick! Swear ye harpooners! Death to Moby Dick!
Shouted with the rest, and stronger I shouted because of the dread in my soul. Beneath us now in his cabin brooded dark Ahab, madness maddened, searching a whole ocean, straining his ears for the call from the masthead that would launch us on the path of the white whale, Moby Dick. Round the horn we sailed into the vast cruising ground of the Pacific. The days were sultry and the rolling swell of the ocean rocked the ship into a doze. High above the decks, the lookout scanned the desert of water. Aloft in the cross trees was Tash Tego, the gay-haired Indian harpooner. Suddenly he stiffened.
Shipkeepers, forward, fetch the captain.
I'm here, Mr. Sabbath. I'm taking a boat.
But, sir, no captain.
Here's one that does. Look ye, Mr. Sabbath. I've shipped my own crew, wild ones they be, from the far islands, living on the smell of blood. Now, lower away.
Aye, sir.
Lower away!
Away it is!
Mr. Sabbath, do you keep your belt away from mine?
Aye, sir. Unship your oars.
Way back now. Pull! Pull! There she blows again. Get ahead. Pull! Pull then! Pull! Break your back poles. Pull for the miles of spare oil. Pull and tear out your eyes. There she blows again.
Pull me in the captain's boat.
Never mind. Pull. Maybe but five more hands to help. There's Moby Dick that's at the bottom of it. But it ain't the white whale today, so pull. Hey, wait.
What?
Give way. He's gone. Sounded.
That blasted lover.
Now, Queequeg, straight up.
I've
seen out if you but see the shadow of a whale.
No. No. Nothing. It go down the bottom, sure.
Lover. She rolls down our 50 paces. Pull now. Roar and pull. Reach me on his black back. Pull now. Here now, give way, men. We're on him. Steady away. There's plenty of time to kill a fish. There go, Fluke. Steady away. Stand up, Queequeg. Ready, harpoon. Well, there's his hump. Now, give it to him.
The whale ran with maddened fury. They hauled him close and planted him with three darts. And then...
Mr. Starbuck, he spouts black blood.
Aye. He's dead.
The whale was dead, wallowing in the blood of his thirsting heart. For the whale, mark you, is like you and I. For all his 70 feet of length, his blood runs hot, till let into the cold sea by Starbuck's lance. But now, our monster corpse must needs be hauled back to the ship. Hour after hour, the boats pull at the slaughtered whale, long after darkness settled on the ocean. Three lights the Pequod masthead, dimly guided our way, the whale's great length pounded against the ship's side.
Secure the whale for the night, Starbuck.
Aye, sir. Now then, get those chains rigged.
Ready there. Heave!
Tied by the head to the stern and by the tail to the bow, the whale now lies with its black hull close to the Pequod's. And at midnight, the weary boat crews drop into their bunks to rest against the morrow. Back to the whale bright and early. Up to the rigging, swing the enormous cutting tackles, then the giant blubber hook swings out over the whale.
Billy heaving. Now again, slowly. Swing it out to the left.
Starbuck and Stubbs swung over the side and balancing on the slippery corpse, chop a hole in the mighty flank of the dead whale. The blubber hook swings down from the rigging and hooks into the bleeding hole. Starbuck slices a semicircle around the hook with his cutting spade.
Ready now. She's set. Take her away.
On board, the men fling themselves against the capstan. The whole ship heels over at the strain. Every boat in her starts. She trembles, quivers, and a swift, startling snap and the first long strip of blubber is peeled off and hauled into the air. Round and round swings the whale as the blubber is stripped off like the rind of an orange. Then, lowered into the hold of the ship, the nimble hands keep coiling it as if it were a blanket. Thus, all day and into the night.
Haul in the chains. Let the carcass go astern.
The peeled body of the whale, minus the head, floats slowly astern, followed by the swarms of snapping sharks. Now, only the giant head hangs by the Pequod's side. Filters the cold light of the moon playing upon the blood-dripping head of the dead whale. Alone on the quarterdeck strode Ahab. Then, holding himself erect, he fixed his burning eye on the black and hooded whale head hanging there.
Speak, thou vast and venerable head. Speak, mighty head, and tell us the secret thing that's in thee. Of all divers, thou hast dived the deepest, where unrecorded names and navies rust and anchors rot, with bones of millions of the drowned. There in that awful waterland was thy most familiar home. Thou hast slipped by many a sailor's side, O head. Thou hast seen enough to split the planets and make an infidel of Abraham. And not one syllable is thine.
We sailed over into the green Pacific, roaring at every spout. On the mast, a coin of Spanish gold gleamed. Every lookout paused to stare at it as he climbed to the masthead. And Ahab paced on his quarter deck till sunset, his keen eyes searching into the swell, longing for the sight of the bushy spout, the wrinkled white forehead of Moby Dick.
The sun, dry heat upon my brow. Though time was when, as the sunrise nobly spurred me, so the sunset soothed. No more. This lovely light that lights me not. Gifted with high perception, I lack the low enjoying power. Cursed most subtly,
and most malignantly. Cursed in the midst of paradise. What I've dared, I've willed. They think me mad, but it's Moby Dick. Moby Dick, the white whale. Moby Dick. I, Ahab, will search thee out. Hunt thee. Though the green seas and howling winds should rise and drive the Pequod under. Even if heaven hurl burning bolts, would Ahab hunt the white whale?
Sail to leeward.
Aye, Mr. Starbuck. Would we could raise the spout of Moby Dick as easily.
Moby Dick. But why, sir?
He's
why?
Evil, Starbuck. Evil, malignant, monstrous.
But to drive the ship, the men.
Ship? The crew? They move at my will. My mind alone directs this microcosm, this world, this universe, bounded by oaken planks, sailing on an ocean of eternity, seeking Moby Dick.
Nay, that's mad.
Shrink, Starbuck. Rebel. And yet must thou obey the will of Ahab. Down helm! We'll hail that vessel!
Down helm!
Ahoy! Ahoy, the Delight!
Ahoy, the Pequod!
Hast seen the white whale?
Moby Dick! Aye! Look, you Pequod! See the shattered whaleboat on the beams! White ribs and splintered planks! Aye, we've seen Moby Dick.
Hath killed him.
Nay, the man is not yet born. The devil will do that.
Not born? Hear ye, Nantucketer. In this hand I hold his death. This arm will sink the harpoon to draw the black blood of death.
Aye, that's what you say. See that hammock on the deck? I bury but one of five stout men who were alive yesterday. Four were buried before they died. You sail upon their tombs. I've seen the white whale.
Whale away!
20 leagues hence, shore by northeast.
Very well. Race forward, up helm, north and northeast.
Captain Ahab.
Aye, Mr. Starbuck.
Captain, the pumps turn up considerable oil from the bilge. The oil casks below must have sprung a bad leak.
So?
We want up Burton's heave to and break out.
Up Burton's and break out. Now that we bear down on Moby Dick like the threatening typhoon, heave to for a week to tinker a parcel of old hoops.
Either do that, sir, or waste in a day more oil than we can make good in a year.
Have ye not Moby Dick is sighted?
What we've come 20,000 miles to get is worth saving, sir.
So it is, Dabber, if we get it.
I meant the oil in the hold.
And I, the white whale. Let the cask leak. The world leaks. Yet who can stop it up in the deep-loaded hull? Or hope to plug it in life's howling gale? Let the oil cast sleep, Starbuck. I'll not heave to.
What will the owner say, sir?
Let the owner stand on Nantucket Beach and out-yell the typhoon.
But, Captain.
Owners. As if the owners were my conscience. Look ye, the only real owner of anything is its commander. And hark ye, my conscience is in this ship's keel.
Captain Ahab, a better man than I might pass over in thee, but he would resent in a younger man, aye, or in a happier.
What dost thou then so much as dare to question me, begone?
Nay, sir, I do entreat, and I dare to be forbearing. Shall we not understand each other better, Captain Ahab?
Sabbath, see thou this pestle. There's one god that's lord over the earth, and one captain that's lord over the Pequod.
Put up thy pistol, Captain. I ask thee not to beware of Starbuck. Thou wouldst laugh. But let Ahab beware of Ahab. Beware of thyself, old man.
Thou art brave, Starbuck, but thou still obey. Careful bravery, that. Ahab, beware of Ahab. Aye, there is something there. But Moby Dick is close. The white whale. Unfurl at the gallant souls. Shake out the reef, storm and east. We sail for Moby Dick. So the world splits. He shall spout black blood, though we chase him 3 times round the horn. Hey, that's Ahab's fate. Though grinning death with pointing finger, ride the bowsprit as we sail. Though Ahab, Starbuck, and the swarming crew sink downward, gasping through the pounding waves. Up, hell! We sail for Moby Dick!
have just heard part one of the Columbia Workshops radio version of Moby Dick by the great American novelist Herman Melville. The script was adapted by Ernest Kenoy with a special musical score composed by Norman Lockwood and conducted by Frederick Steiner and directed by Howard G. Barnes. Appearing in the role of Captain Ahab is Neil O'Malley. Ishmael, who tells the story, is played by Sidney Smith, and Starbuck by Charles Irving. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will present the second and concluding part of Moby Dick as the relentless tyrant of the good ship Pequod drives on in single-minded lust for the black blood of the fabulous white whale. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. Subscribe to the show on Podbean, iTunes, or through RSS. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and next we have the second part of Moby Dick. I bet you are looking forward to hearing the rest of this fine adaptation of the classic book. The writing recalls some of the beautiful language of the book, while keeping the drama taut with great sound effects and an original score, not to mention the great acting. Let's return to Columbia Workshop, Moby Dick, Part 2, first broadcast October 26, 1946, on CBS.
The Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques, presents the second and concluding part of a two-part adaptation of the great American classic of the sea, Moby Dick, by Herman Melville. Ernest Kenoy adapted the novel for the Columbia Workshop, and the special musical score was composed by Norman Lockwood and is conducted by Frederick Steiner. The program is directed by Howard G. Barnes. Well, of Captain Ahab drives the whaling ship Pequod forward, ever forward, weary month after weary month, in mad pursuit of the fabulous white whale, Moby Dick. The officers and crew grumble and dream of home, but cannot bend the single purpose of the revenge-obsessed tyrant. Captain Ahab walks the decks of the Pequod with an ivory stump, where Moby Dick took off his leg when last they met. The tale is told by Ishmael.
Gray, gaunt Ahab, pacing the tilting quarterdeck, his slim white ivory leg pounding an eternal thumping rhythm, searching, hunting the enemy that robbed him of his leg. Across the storm-tossed ocean, round the horn through the Indian seas and out upon the broad Pacific, close on the foam-thrashed wake of Moby Dick, the monstrous white whale. To Ahab's unhinged fire, the focus and embodiment of infinite malignant evil. Just as the unsetting polar star, so Ahab's purpose gleamed down on the constant midnight of the ship's gloomy crew. In this foreshadowing interval, all humor vanished. Starbuck the mate smiled no more, and Stubb the second officer stilled his cheerful song. Like machines, they dumbly moved on deck, ever conscious that the old man's desperate eye was on them.
Sir, we must send down the main topsail yard.
Strike sail, Mr. Starbuck.
Aye, sir, the lee lift is half stranded. Shall I strike it, sir?
Strike nothing. Lash it. If I had skysail poles, I'd sway them up now and carry double canvas. We're on his trail, Starbuck. We close hourly on Moby Dick.
Double canvas in a gale, sir. It's madness, Captain.
Aye, Starbuck, mad, demoniac. Thou dost abhor thy captain's hunt. But Starbuck's body and Starbuck's will are Ahab. My magnet at thy brain draws off rebellion.
Insane old man, beware thyself.
Captain Starbuck, we strike no sail nor shorten canvas. Nay, not if the typhoon sweeps away the mast. Until the masthead cries out for Moby Dick. Until he spouts black blood. and in his hand I clutch his evil heart.
And when the seas had calmed again in the summer cool weather of these latitudes, the open sunbeat deck invited Perp, the blacksmith. And he rigged his forge, lashed tight to ring bolts in the deck. Surrounded by an eager circle, all waiting to be served, he mended boat spades, pike heads, harpoons, and lances. He worked in a shower of darting sparks that sprayed round him in thick, hovering flight.
His father was the keeper of the Eddystone Light. He married a mermaid one fine night. Out of this union there came three. The two was fishes, the other was me. Oh, the wind blows free. Oh, for the life on the roving sea.
Blacksmith!
Aye, sir.
Thy sparks, Perth. Are they thy mother Kelly's chickens, flying in thy wake?
The sparks, sir?
Look here. They burn the deck. But thou livest among them without a scorch.
Because I am scorched all over, Captain. Not easily canst thou scorch a star.
What wast thou making there?
Welding an old pike head, sir. There were seams and dents in it.
And canst thou make it all smooth again, blacksmith, after such hard usage as it had?
I think so, sir.
Thou canst smooth seams and dents, no matter how hard the metal?
Aye, sir. All seams and dents but one.
Look ye here, then. Here. Can ye smooth out the wrinkled seam of madness in my brow? If thou couldst, blacksmith, glad enough would I lay my head upon the anvil and feel thy heaviest hammer between my eyes. Answer, canst thou smooth this seam?
Nay, sir. That is the one dent insensible of blacksmith's hammer.
Aye, man, it is unsmoothable. For though thou seest it here in my flesh, it is worked down into the bone of my skull. But no more of pikes and gaffs today. Look you here, blacksmith. Seal. Gathered nail stubs of shoes of racing horses.
Aye, Captain Ahab. Thou hast there the best and stubbornest stuff we work.
Aye, sir. And thou must forge me a harpoon. 1,000 yokes of fiends could not part. A blade that'll stick in a whale like his own pin bone. Forge me that blade, and it'll drink the blood of Moby Dick.
Tropic afternoon, the blacksmith heated and hammered the stubborn steel. And while Ahab paced beside the forge and fixed the blade with greedy eyes. Then, as the sun sank down beyond the yard, the blacksmith laid...
But for the tempering, will you shove the water cask near?
No water. I want it of the true death temper. Ahoy there! I say go. I go, quick. What say you, you pagan harpooners?
Hey, Captain. Yes, sir.
Will you give me as much blood as will cover this bar?
Blood? Yes.
Aye. Blood. For a true temper. For a blade as sharp as the needle sleet of the icy sea.
Hi, Captain. I'm willing.
All right. Captain. Your arms, then. And careful with the knife. Dago. Quick. Now, then. Put ye your arms over this hot blade and... turn them. There. Tempered in blood, ye harpoon. Baptized in the name of the devil. Moby Dick, I hold thy death. And now I'll drink thy heart's blood and see thee roll. Hear now!
Down swept the Pequod on the line, the cruising ground across the equator. Roaring for whales, rocking in the tiny boats on the slow, heaving swells. But warmest climes but nurse the cruelest fangs. Skies the most effulgent, but basket the deadliest thunders. And from out that cloudless sky burst the direst of all storms, a typhoon.
By evening, the Pequod, torn of her canvas and bare poles, struggled as sky and sea roared. The disabled mass fluttering with the rags of canvas left by the first fury of the tempest.
Stop! Stop!
Hey, Mr. Starbuck!
Come out!
All double lash! Wrench me! Wave! It's round the world you come to do it. A waste of travel and poor stub. Oh, God, he is again and a joke in his world. But I am no brave man. I'm a coward, Mr. Starbuck. I sing to keep my spirits up.
Silence!
There's no way to stop my singing in the world but to cut my throat and then tend to when I sing you the doxology for the wind-up.
Moscow! Is there a sea?
In the dark where the Pacific ran down my throat?
Look, here the gale comes full against the course we steer for Moby Dick. There, in the lightning. Marking half course. There!
The boat's dove in.
Aye. Crushed in the stern sheets where the old man stands. Now stop. Jump overboard and sing if thou must.
I don't. What's in the wind?
A gale that hammers us now. We can turn it to a fair wind to drive home. Yonder to windward all is black as of doom. But lowered away from Moby Dick is home. Oh, God, turn us back to Nantucket and home.
Hey, Captain.
Come down a boat. Drive into it.
Nay, Captain. Let me square the yards where we may and make a fair voyage of it homeward.
Avast, Starbuck. I'll cut down the first to cast loose the rope's end. Two ropes to hunt the white whales are as binding as mine own. Hey, Starbuck. We ride into the typhoon.
But the anchors are working, sir. Shall I get them inboard?
Sir, nothing but lash everything. The wind rises. Quick and see to it.
By masts and keels. You take me for the hunchback skipper of some coasting smacks. Send down the sails?
No, no! We go on!
Slow billows. And striving in the Pequod's gurgling track, pushed her on like giant palms outspread. The sea was as a crucible of molten gold that bubblingly leaps with light and heat. And then, splitting the lazy silence, the masthead cries,
Hail-ho! Hail-ho!
On the horizon, the gansel just visible over the saucer of ocean, a large ship, the Rachel, bore down directly on the Pequod, her spars thickly clustering with men. The Rachel's captain put off, and soon his boat hook clinched the Pequod's main chain.
Ahoy there! I've seen the white whale.
Hey, yesterday. Give a hand up here.
Yes, sir. Up.
Ever seen a whale boat adrift?
Nay, but the white whale, was he killed? Moby Dick still lives?
Aye, he does. You've not seen a whale boat adrift? It was yesterday the cursed white whale ran off with our lead boat fast to him. Towed out of sight in less than an hour. Eight good men.
He'd stop in the height of the season for one missing boat.
My boy, my own boy is among them. For love of heaven, Captain. For 40 hours, let me charter your ship to help the search. I'll pay, and roundly pay.
His son, Captain Ahab. We'll save his son. Nay, sir.
Nay? I'll not go till you say aye to me. I lay, Captain, you've got a boy home now. Yes, you'll relent. I can see it. Come then, men. Stand by to square the yards in air.
Avast! That's not a rope yarn. Captain, I will not do it. Even now I lose time. Goodbye. God bless you, man, and may I forgive myself. Mr. Starbuck.
Aye, sir.
3 minutes hence. Brace for it and have the ship sail on.
Aye, sir.
Oh, I beg, I plead, my son. Captain.
Mr. Starbuck. Bend sail upon the wake of Moby Dick.
two ships diverged their wakes. As long as the strange vessel was in sight, she yawed hither and thither. And by her winding, woeful way, you plainly saw that this ship, that was so weeping with spray, still remained without comfort. She was Rachel, who wept for her children because they were not. The days went by, and the Pequod rose and fell heavily with every wave. And Ahab, driven by the fire within him, strode the deck with restless urgency.
Starbuck!
Aye, sir.
How, Starbuck? The mild, mild wind and gentle sky. On such a day as this, I struck my first whale. 18 I was. 40 years ago.
A long time, Captain.
And not 3 years ashore. Of weariness. 4 years on dry, salted fare. Fit emblem of the dry nourishment of my soul.
Thou art married?
Aye. A young girl. But a wife? Rather a widow whose husband lives. I widowed that girl when I married her, Starbuck. Old Ahab. More a demon than a man. By this strife, this chase, how richer or better is Ahab now? Dismasted. An ivory peg to prop a stump. I feel deadly bowed and humped. As though I were Adam staggering beneath the piled centuries in paradise.
Captain, the wind blows to Nantucket.
Stand close, Starbuck. Let me look into a human eye. I see my wife and child in thine eye. Starbuck. Do thou stay on board the Pequod. Lower not when I do. When branded Ahab gives chase to Moby Dick, that hazard shall not be thine.
Captain, noble soul, why should anyone give chase to that hated fish?
No, Starbuck.
Away, let us fly those deadly waters. Let us home. Wife and child, too, are mine. Let me alter course.
Heaven crack my heart, stave my brain. Mockery, bitter mockery.
Let me square, Captain. How cheerily would we bowl on our way to see old Nantucket again? All the mild blue days like this one on Nantucket Island.
Aye, and about this time the boy awakes, sits up in bed, and his mother speaks of Ahab, abroad on the deep, who will yet be home again.
'Tis my Mary herself. She promised every morning would my son be carried to the highest hill to catch first glimpse of his father's sail.
What is it, Starbuck? What cruel and hidden lord is he that orders me against all natural lovings and longings? Is Ahab Ahab? Is it I or God or who that lifts this arm? By heaven, man, we'll turn round and round like yonder windlass and fate's the handspike. But we'll sleep at last, Starbuck. I cling to that. We'll sleep at last.
Home, Captain, home. Change the course, beat back to home. Thy wife, thy child, and mine.
ocean grew smooth. And now they saw him wallowing in the trough, his dazzling hump visible, sliding along the sea, his tiny malignant eye fixed out over the waves, his massive wrinkled forehead towering over the swells. Seabirds roosted on his craggy head. So swam Moby Dick. And in the stern sheets of his driving boat stood Ahab, his burning eye fixed on the lazy spout that topped the massive head.
Pull again! I shall not lose him! There goes Luke! He's down, Captain!
Aye, down to the bottom, an hour he'll stay. Easy off.
Hey, Captain! See the birds that roosted on his back, the head this way!
Hey, keen eyes, look down! Look down, Captain!
The birds tell true! Stand all, 'tis Moby Dick!
Pull! Pull for life! He comes up! Jump! Jump!
He's got us in his jaws!
He's back in the boat! Jump!
Into the churning sea spilled Ahab as the whale's jaws crushed the frail gunwales and sliced the boat in two. And withdrawn from his prey, Moby Dick now lay at a little distance. Swiftly round and round he swam, churning the water in his vengeful wake, barring from the floating wreck the other boats, till down upon the circle of boats and the maddened whale bore the Pequod, close upon the maelstrom that battered swimming Ahab. They fished up floating mariners and shattered whaling gear. And then old Ahab, dragged from the sea, stood again on his quarter-deck. The morning of the third day dawned fair and fresh, and once more the lookouts dotted every masthead and almost every spar. Time itself now held long breaths with keen suspense. Hours passed, gold beaten out to ages.
Stabbock!
Sir?
For the third time, my soul's ship stops upon this voyage.
Aye, sir, thou wilt have it so.
Some men die at ebb tide, Stabbock, some at low water, and some at the full of the flood. Shake hands with me now, man.
Oh, Captain.
Captain, go not. Go not. Man your boats. Stand by the crew. Go away!
Heart of wrought steel. What is this that shoots through me and leaves me so deadly calm and expectant, fixed at the top of a shudder? Merry girl, thou fadest before me. Go stir thyself, Starbuck. Stave it off. Oh, Ahab. Ahab. Shudder, old man. Thou hast brought down death upon us.
The whaleboats rocked slowly where the spouting Moby Dick had sounded, waiting till he should rise and blow again. Suddenly the waters around them slowly swelled in broad circles and quickly upheaved. A low rumbling sound, a subterranean hum, and shrouded in a thin, drooping veil of mist, a vast form shot lengthwise from the sea.
Backwater all! He
cuts
that
smoke,
Captain, and the other!
Do we pick him up, Captain? Nay, nay. We still float, and Moby Dick lies two boat lengths off.
Pull now! She blows, Captain! Pull again! Once more!
Darren, slack off! Hold steady! Harpoon!
Now!
I curse.
He rolls, Captain. Watch out the line. The line snaps.
Where is he now? Try him out. Where is he?
He swims on the ship, Captain.
He's there for the Pequod.
Oars, oars.
Pull. Pull.
Let Ahab drive again upon his mark. The ship. The ship. Dash on, my men. Will ye not save my ship?
The
straight upon the advancing prow, the Pequod drove Moby Dick, smiting his jaw amid fiery showers of foam. On the ship's deck stood Starbuck and sea-drenched Stubb, rescued from the wreckage of the stowboats. The masthead screamed a warning. They turned and caught sight of the downcoming monster.
The wheel! Up helm! Let not Starbuck die if die he must in a woman's fainting fit.
Up helm, you fools! His jaws are open! The jaws!
Oh, Ahab, blow thy work. Steady, helmsman, steady! Up helm again! He turns to meet us, his bow drives on! May God stand by me now!
The solid white buttress of the whale's forehead smote the ship's starboard bow till men and timbers reeled. Through the breach, they heard the waters pour as mountain torrents down a flume. Slowly, slowly, the ship settled in the water. The whale lay quiet within a few yards of Ahab's tiny advancing boat.
Thou firm, death-glorious ship, must ye then perish and without me? Oh, lonely death. Oh, lonely life. Moby Dick, towards thee I roll, thou all-destroying but unconquering whale. To the last I grapple with thee.
Keep close, Captain.
One more pull now, men. There! Steady off! From hell's heart I stab at thee. For hate's sake I spit my last breath at thee. Let die while chasing me, tied to thee, thou cursed whale! Thus I give up this fear!
Captain, he's sounding!
Captain, the line is found!
Got you once again around the post!
The line! Captain! Watch that loo! Captain!
Caught by a flying turn around the neck, the singing whale line shot him over the side. And down, down through the swirling depths, sank Mad Ahab. Down to the silent rest he yearned for. Still seeking Moby Dick, following the mighty white whale to the quiet darkness below. And now, concentric circles seized the lone boat itself as the greater bulk of the ship settled into the sea. And all the crew and each floating oar, lance pole, spinning altogether, animate and inanimate, all round and round in one vortex, sank downward, carrying the smallest chip of the Pequod out of sight. Now, small fowls flew screaming over the yet yawning gulf. A sullen white surf beat against its steep sides. Then all collapsed, and the great shroud of the sea rolled on as it rolled 5,000 years ago. The drama's done. Why then here does anyone step forth? Because one did survive the wreck. I, Ishmael, floated in the wreckage at the margin of the vortex. And when the half-spent suction of the ship reached me and drew me round and round to the center of the slowly wheeling circle, it had subsided to a creamy pool. Clinging to a shattered boat, I floated on the soft and dirge-like neck. On the second day, a sail drew near, nearer, and picked me up at last. It was the Rachel. But in her retracing search after her missing children, only found another orphan.
So ends Moby Dick by the great American novelist Herman Melville. Today and last week, the Columbia Workshop presented this classic of the seas in two parts, as adapted by Ernest Canoy and directed by Howard G. Barnes. The musical score was composed by Norman Lockwood and conducted by Frederick Steiner. Included in the cast were Sidney Smith as Ishmael, Neil O'Malley was Ahab, and Charles Irving was Starbuck. Next week, over most of these same CBS stations, the Columbia Workshop will present an original fantasy by Joseph Ruskell entitled Lee Fountain Comes of Age, which will be directed by Werner Michel with a special musical score by Alexander Semler. Saturday night is good listening with CBS, so listen now over most of these same stations to the famous correspondent Larry Lesser in the news. He'll be with you in a moment. This is Don Baker for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I hope you enjoyed listening to that high-quality adaptation of Moby Dick as much as I did. We really appreciate your tuning in each week to the Old Time Radio Hour. Next week, we have another treat in store, and I hope you are able to join us then for another trip back to the heyday of the theater of the mind. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.